I'm doing it deliberately because I really want to come back after exhorting you tonight. I want to have a praise party because as pastors, we set the temperature of praise and worship in our house. And that temperature isn't related to age, it's related to passion. Did I just say something offensive right there? Is good? That temperature is not related to age. It's related to passion. I was in a prayer meeting a number of years ago, and I don't know if you find this. Actually, guys, you can have a break. They did a fantastic job. You can come back and really pump it out. Is the chef the drummer? Yeah. That's awesome. That's great. I love that. More meat! When we come back, I'm going to ask the guys to stack up the chairs. I'm going to pull you all forward. And we're just going to let loose. Okay? Because you're amongst friends. You're not having to impress your people. You're not having to be dignified. Oh, I'm pastor. I know what this is like, right? Yeah. I go to the youth meeting so I can be undignified. I was in this prayer meeting, and I don't know if you find this sometimes, when you're in a corporate prayer meeting, sometimes you just, it's like, wow, the heavens are opened, and you just hear from God. And I just had this drop in, and it just blew me away. It says, Andrew, my people call me good, but they're not calling me great. My people call me good, but they're not calling me great. Of course, Psalm 48, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, not goodly to be praised. In the city of our God, the mountain of his holiness, which is beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Now, we know that's talking to a literal mountain, but that transfigures or that translates to the mountaintop or the house of God. God wants to be praised greatly in the house of God. And I just wonder sometimes whether we need to bring praise up a notch. We need to bring our worship up a notch. 1 Chronicles 16, 25-31, for the Lord is great. And again, greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above the gods, for all the gods of the peoples, they are but idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him, strength and gladness are in his place. And then it says this, give to the Lord, O families of the peoples, give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, our God reigns. My people call me good, but they're not calling me great. I felt I heard from God that day. Now, I grew up with a catchphrase, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. We all know that, don't we? Can I just break something to you? Good probably doesn't mean what it used to mean. You know, 50 years ago, say, the word wicked meant evil. And then about 20 years ago, the word wicked started to mean something really cool. Right? And like, 20 years ago, the word sick meant you were sick, and then suddenly now sick means something really cool. It's really sick. Mate. And you know how in culture words can change their emphasis and change their meaning? I've got a hunch that this generation doesn't value the word good like our forefathers did. And so we come up to David Elder and we say, how you doing, Pastor David? And he says, I'm good.
Great.
Ah, you knew. You knew what I was going to say. You must be a pastor of... Because how many people know good really just means okay? Good means average. Good means beige. Beige, right? Blah, kind of like vomit. You know the color I'm talking about? Well, that's how young people view the word good today. It just doesn't have the emphasis that my generation knew it to mean. The truth is, God is good, like the Bible says, right? But there are descriptive words about God that perhaps we have not got comfortable with. And this one is particular. God is great. God is great needs to become part of our language. So instead of us saying, you know, God is good all the time, we need to say God is great all the time. And all the time we give him great praise. Right? All the time we give him great praise. Because that's what Psalm 48 says. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. It's not saying God is good, give him a good praise. It's saying God is great, give him great praise, right? So that's my revelation for the night. I could stop there, but you probably want some padding. So we'll pad it out a bit. The reason we know God is good is because a lot of scriptures that talk about the goodness of God actually refer to the things that God does. So here's an example. In James 1:7, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation of shadow or turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be kinds of first fruits of his creatures. Good things come down from the Father, right? And so here's this analogy of the goodness of God displayed in the good things that he does. And that's the truth. He does that. Not saying it's not true. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Why? Because his mercy endures forever. It's what he's doing lasts forever. Truly God is good to Israel, Psalm 73, verse 1. To such as are pure in heart, he's good too. It's about what he does. Now here's the thought. God is good for what he does, but God is great for who he is. Right? Think about that for a minute. If that's what we're transmitting, whether we mean to or not, and our people who we want to give great praise to God have in their psyche or have in their fundamental theology that we praise him because he's good to us, then when things don't go well, we don't offer praise. Because our theology is, no, he's a good God and only does good things. That's actually not what the Bible says. It says God is great, give him great praise, right? And so as leaders, as pastors, we somehow have to shift people that our worship, and I heard Jono do this tonight, we worship him because he is worthy. It's not about what he's doing, and we know what he's done, that should settle it. But somehow we've transmitted that our praise and our worship is based on what he's doing. The goodness of God. And that's all great when we see that, when we have our wins. But how many of your folk are having wins and how many of them are having losses? And so what happens is Sunday morning, it's hard to get anything, any traction. It's hard to get anything going because they're all hoo-ha. You know what I'm saying? And you try and crank them up. The worship band tries to crank them up. They're going hard out. Sing rejoice. It's flat. But what if we set the temperature? What if we as leaders are bringing into the house The fact that we're enthusiastic about the praise of God because we have an understanding that it's not whether God's performing miracles in our midst. It's not whether we're seeing the outpouring of His Spirit. It's not whether we're seeing the great things happen. We're just praising Him for who He is. We've got an understanding that our job is set the temperature, put the thermometer up, and let's go. Let's crank this place up because the pastor's happy. Hang on a minute. That's the worship band's job. No, it's not. Sorry, guys. You don't set the temperature. You might set the rhythm. You might choose the songs. Leaders set the temperature. We set the temperature. We come in excited because we're not praising God in the hope that He's going to do something. We know He's going to do something because we know He's great. Am I preaching tonight or what? Okay, we're going to have some fun and then we're going to do it, right? I love this verse. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who belong to God. You know that part, eh? So, this is so cool. I just love what God says you are. Chosen. Wow. You didn't stumble into this. He handpicked you. Come on. God handpicked you. That's what you got a calling on in your life. You're handpicked. You go to the veggie department, the fruit department. You don't get that bag of oddball fruit. You know they have in Woolworths, the odd bunch. Do you? Yeah? It's cheaper, right? Or you're like some of us who go and you pick out the hand-picked fruit and you get the best apples or the best pears or whatever you're picking out. There's a joy in hand-picking your fruit. Not just saying I'm going to accept the odd bunch. You're not an odd bunch. You're hand-picked. You're an odd bunch. I'm sorry. You are a peculiar people. Yeah, yeah. Now, actually, God says you're chosen. And not only this, you're royal. Wow. You get a revelation of this, you'll shift your understanding of who you are. Oh, every girl wanted to be a princess. And every boy wanted to be Luke Skywalker. Royalty. Something in us that sets us apart to do something incredible for a great God, right? Yeah. And God says, you're stamped all over with it. You're chosen. You're royal. You're a priest. Two highest orders in the Bible were the kingly order and the priestly order. You know this? You couldn't be one if you wanted to be. You had to be born into it, which is why we had to be born again. Come on. We just couldn't be coming in any other way. If you're going to be royal, you're going to be born into the family. If you're going to be a priest, you're going to be born into the family. And if you want to be in God's royal priesthood, you've got to be born again. Yeah. Come on, every pastor should know this. We had a heavenly blood transfusion that gave us the blood of heaven. And we, Bible says, are now champions because of the champion Christ Jesus. Yeah. He says, you're a chosen people, a royal, a holy nation. Are you talking about me, God? Come on, holy? You know, we make our mistakes, God. We're a bit dirty. God says we're holy. Years ago, the elders will know this because I know we're vintage. We used to sing a song. I am covered over with the precious blood of Jesus and He lives in me, lives in me. I am covered over with the robe of righteousness that Jesus gives to me. What a joy it is to know my Heavenly Father loves me, so He gives to me my Jesus. Love this. When He looks at me, He sees not what I used to be, but He sees Jesus. That's why He calls us holy. Because He gets that white sheet of holy, puts it over the dirty clothes that I'm wearing. He looks at me, He sees Jesus. That's how He calls us holy. And if we have a revelation that God calls you royal and God calls you holy and God calls you chosen, then it shifts the way you view Him. It says you belong. Oh, I love that. You belong to Him. We've got a world out there seeking to find acceptance, desperate to find acceptance. And we have it right there in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. We're accepted, we're chosen, we're royal, we're holy. And then it tells us what we're meant to do with it. That you may declare. Say that with me. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I love the word declare here. That's a great word. Didn't say that you may sing praises. No. Declare praises. The word declare means to forcefully pronounce. Forcefully must mean something with more energy, more volume, more enthusiasm. Yeah, I like that. That understanding of who God has saved you to be, that you were born again into his royal family, that you have the blood of heaven flowing through your veins, incorruptible seed, covered over with a robe of righteousness, that you may declare forcefully his praises. Why? Because he's a great God. That's my identity. That's your identity. When we struggle with who we're meant to be, I read that verse, 1 Peter 2, verse 9. I read it over and over and over. Oh, Andrew, don't you remember? He chose you by hand, like a handpicked, you know, piece of fruit, the best. Don't forget it, pastors and leaders. You're not defined by your job. You know, you might have a doctor in your church, and he's good at surgery and stuff like that. One day he's not going to be a doctor. He's just going to be Bob, right? Bob the doctor. David the teacher. Whatever, you know, we think what we do is our identity. It's got nothing to do with what I do. 1 Peter 2 verse 9, it says it's nothing to do with me. It's what God has done. He chose me. He made me royal. He says I'm holy. He says I belong. What did I do for that? Zip. And sometimes that's how we view praise. That it's what we do. Or that it's for us. Or that worship is something that we should enjoy. It's not for us. It's for him. I know. This is raw. We set the temperature. If you want vibrant, enthusiastic praise and worship in your house, and you're saying, God, give me a great musician to do that, bless you, pray for those things. But how about we set the temperature? Because God doesn't mention instruments in this verse. He's mentioning you. You. You have a voice. Some of you have the ability, oh, but I don't sing in tune. Do you shout in tune or you just shout? Because from what I'm seeing, God wants us to lift our voice with energy and declare his praises. And tune actually doesn't come into it here. Tunes may come into songs. But when it comes to free worship, bless the Lord for all those who can sing in tune. But I'll take anyone who just opens their mouth. Because that's what God wants, you to open your mouth and declare his praises. And we put so much energy on, does it sound right? Or does it sound like great praise? I hear a brother shouting down the back. I loved it. I just loved that. I'm not asking you to go any louder, bro. Just keep it up. You are setting the bar right there. Enthusiasm. And that's what I'm talking about. That's a temperature setter, enthusiasm. You got one in your church? Because I've got one in my church. People go, oh, he's a bit rowdy. No, he's not. He's doing what we should be doing. He's doing what we should be doing. Oh, but it's slightly, you know, brash or invasive. Oh, as a pastor, you just want to go, bless you, you know. Brother, you're not setting the temperature here. those people that are lifting their voices and declaring and are excited about our Jesus are saying God is great in that moment, in that praise. Oh, look, I've had to calm some people down. No doubt about it, but they were pretty excessive. And you've got to know when someone's doing it for show and whether they're actually doing it out of a pure heart, right? I'm not talking about just letting anything go. But man, the temperature in our church could be frosty. And that's not our God, right?
Come on. That's good.
It's not our God. We're New Life churches.
Yeah.
This movement was birthed in great praise.
Yes.
I mean, they didn't call us holy rollers for nothing. There was some real rolling going on. They, and most of it wasn't holy. There was a lot of rolling. There was a lot of chandelier swinging. There was a lot of people breaking ground on something that we might trade in today for decency. And there's an authentic generation out there looking to see if people are really enthusiastic about their Jesus. And they're watching us. You can be as polished as you like. You can be as performance-driven as you like. It won't cut it today. What's going to cut it today is people who have got their heart set on praising Him, on declaring His goodness. Doesn't matter how they feel. Doesn't matter what battle they've gone through. Doesn't matter what war they've just come out of with their kids. We are going to praise God.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's not about me. It's about Him. I think I'm done. I think you got the picture. So we're going to do it, right? We're going to bust out and become New Life people, praising people. If you want to boogie a bit and move a bit, do you know what? I dance in my church. It is painful for me to dance. I have to dignify, because a lot of me moves now that I don't want it to move. It's not a pretty sight. So I've learned to have a bit of gospel swing, bit of a wiggle, bit of a shuffle hoo. But I do that. Why? Because I'm the temperature setter in my church. No one's going to do diddly squat if they don't see the leader do it. But you know what? I'm not doing it to impress them. I'm doing it because I love Jesus. I was doing the Pentecostal two-step in conference this year. Adam started singing some old songs. This is the day. This is the day. Someone filmed me and it became part of the New Life video. I said, why didn't you keep it rolling? I would have got jaw going. Adam thought that was really funny. I said, it wasn't funny. Yeah. I was releasing my joy. I mean, where people think it's cool or uncool. No one thought David's dancing was cool when he danced before the ark. And there was some pretty unholy rolling going on there. I have not yet got down to underwear. Praise the Lord. So, would you join me tonight, New Life pastors, in letting our hair down and giving our great God, who is worthy of great praise? Don't let's give Him a good praise. By the way, this generation, you start talking to them about the good news, you need to make it the great news. Think about it. Luke 2, verse 10, the angel of the Lord comes, behold, today I give you tidings of good joy. No, great joy. Come on. Yes, the Bible, the gospel is good news. But in today's generation, we need to have an understanding it's great news. Because good just doesn't cut it. Amen? Let's give the Lord some great praise. So, when I preached this message in my church, I went looking for a song that said that God is great. Now, there's two I could find. Chris Tomlin's, How Great Is Our God? That's a goodie, right? And this other one that we're going to do tonight, which I think was done by somebody. Gateway, Elevation,
somebody.
Definitely somebody did it, made it big. But the chorus, the bridge goes, great are you, Lord. You know the song? It's, yeah, so I love that part of it because it's big, it's grunty, and it declares the greatness of God. So hopefully we can pull it off tonight. Would the guys just like to stack some chairs up? I don't mind if you just go three rows back, and then everyone come forward, all right? Because for, you know what? A lot of you want to dance, but there's just no freedom when the chairs are there. And so I'm a full believer, and if there's some people who might have a wiggle, have a boogie, then take the chairs out and let them have a go.